Well, hello, church. My name's Nick. I'm the associate vicar here. We're going to be thinking about gratitude this morning in our Fruitful Followers series, thinking about gratitude. Let me pray as we begin. Our great God and Father, thank you that you made us. Thank you that you redeemed us in Christ. Thank you that you speak to us through your words. And Father, this morning as we come to these words, help us to see you. And help us to respond to you, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're thinking about gratitude, and I wonder, have you heard the story of two men walking in a field together one day? They get a long way through the field, and they look up, and they notice that there's a bull charging at them. So they turn around, and they start to run. And the first man turns to the second and says, "Oh, we're in trouble here, you better pray, say a prayer." Second one says, "I've never prayed in my life. I only know one prayer that my dad used to pray." First one says, "Doesn't matter, just pray it. We're in trouble. Pray, pray, pray." So the second one says, "For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful." We're thinking about gratitude this morning. And I think we probably know, don't we? We know that there is something immensely powerful about gratitude. Have you ever met someone who's going through a hard time, but they keep looking at the things for which they're grateful and it gives them strength? Have you ever come across anyone like that? I remember one woman who was recently widowed. She'd widowed quite young. She'd been married for 30 years and she had to move out of her house, and I was speaking to her, expecting her to be a mess. I asked, I said, "How are you doing?" And I remember her smiling and saying, "Do you know what? I am so grateful for the time that we had together. I am so grateful that the Lord gave us this house for the time that we had." No bitterness, just gratitude. There's something immensely powerful, isn't there, about being grateful. I heard a quote this week that said, it's not our joy in life that gives us gratitude. It's our gratitude in life that gives us joy. Something immensely powerful about gratitude. Now, this morning, I want to ask, what is different about Christian gratitude? Because I think that for a Christian, there is another level, there is another depth, there is a richness when it comes to gratitude, if we know the living God. See, in this account in the Bible, 10 people receive a wonderful gift, if you will. And I assume that they're all pretty grateful for what they receive. But it's the way that one man responds, the way that he expresses that gratitude, that is the key lesson for you and I this morning. See, one man in this story, and only one man, looks through the gift to come and worship and give thanks to the giver. Only one of them looks through the gift to draw near to the giver. That's the big idea, I think, of this story this morning. It's encouraging us to look through the gift and worship the ultimate giver, God. So what we're going to do, we're just going to walk through this story, and then I'm going to draw out two implications at the end. So that's where we're going this morning. First of all then, have a look down at verse 11 with me. Let's walk through this story together. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." First thing just to notice here is how distant these 10 men are. Notice the end of verse 12, have a look down. They stand at a distance. See, these 10 men, they have leprosy. Now, to have leprosy in those days, there is no hospital to go to. There is no health care. There is no way to treat it. You have to be distant. If you get leprosy, you are pushed out of your family. You are pushed out of your community. And you have to live at a distance, physically, socially, even spiritually. Leprosy in those days, you were considered spiritually unclean. Had to live at a distance. We had a little taste, just a tiny taste of how horrible, how unnatural that is, didn't we, during COVID? Do you remember living at a distance from others during COVID? I always remember this picture of, oh no, not that one. What's going on? What's happened? There we go, this picture. This is the picture of the Queen. Do you remember this picture of the Queen at her husband's funeral? Cut off from her loved ones, grieving alone, at a distance. It's so unnatural, isn't it? Well, for these 10 men, that was their life. This was how they lived, cut off from others. Just imagine, if you can, for a moment, try and imagine what it must have been like to be one of these men, to wake up one morning in your normal life, and you feel that strange feeling on your skin, and you look down, and you see it, the signs of leprosy. And your heart just sinks, because you know this means a future being cut off from others. Maybe they tried to hide it, maybe they tried to cover it up, but eventually family become aware, communities become aware, and what happens? They're pushed out to live at a distance. No recovery plan, no hope. And so when these 10 men see Jesus, they stay at a distance, but they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And notice what happens, verse 14. When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. As they go, they receive this wonderful gift, if you will, of physical cleansing and healing. Just imagine being one of those men, walking along with them in that crowd, with the sun on the back of your neck one day, as they go to the priest, like Jesus said, and suddenly they start to notice, they feel a bit different. And they look down and see the disease is gone. And they look up, and you see the wonder in their eyes as they look at each other. You start to hear the joy bursting out of their mouths and their surprise at having received this amazing, miraculous gift. There's a whole new future opens up before them. Wonderful, miraculous gift of healing in their lives. Now look, in the Bible, miracles are always meant to be signposts. Right, they don't point to themselves. Miracles are always meant to point beyond themselves, to lead people somewhere, or more accurately, to lead us to someone. To lead us to someone. And so imagine as that group get healed and they all start heading off in different directions, one man pauses for a second and he thinks about this powerful gift that's broken into his life, and he stops. And he turns and he goes back to the one through whom that gift came. Have a look down at verse 15 with me. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Just imagine the look on this man's eyes as he walks towards Jesus and sees him and realizes with every step that every barrier Jesus has ripped apart. So physically, he can draw near. Socially, the stigma is gone. And most importantly, spiritually, if you look down at verse 19, Jesus says to this man, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." That word for well there is the word for salvation. See, all of the men receive the gift of physical healing, but this man, as he comes to Christ, also receives the gift of salvation, being saved, being made well in his soul, brought near to God, brought back into a relationship with his Maker. See, we know from the rest of Luke's gospel what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to go to the cross, bearing the punishment for human sin. Jesus Christ is going to be alienated, distanced from God the Father. Why? So that you and I don't have to be. So that this man, and so that we can draw near to God with all the barriers taken away. So can you picture him there in verse 16, this man, fallen at the feet of Jesus, every barrier removed, shouting praise to God. But the others, verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 men cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? See, this man looked through the gift and drew near to the giver. The other 9, what have they done? They've taken the gift and they've turned their back on the giver. They've taken what they wanted here and now and they've walked away. Now notice that Jesus does expect them to come to him. Right? It's a general sense of gratitude to God is not enough. Jesus expects them to come back to him, to see through the gift and come to the giver. But they don't. As soon as they get what they want here and now, they walk out of Christ's life forever. This is much worse than just ingratitude. They've received a miraculous sign pointing them to Christ for eternal life, but they are not interested in the one to whom the gift points. When they get what they want, they walk out of Christ's life forever. And it is tragic. They receive healing for their bodies, but their souls remain at a distance, cut off from God, as far as we know, for all eternity. Now, what's that got to do with you and me here today? See, most of us probably wouldn't say we've received the gift of a miraculous healing, I expect. But the Bible would say that all of the good things that we enjoy in this life are gifts that are meant to lead us to the ultimate gift, Jesus Christ. The Bible would say that every breath that you and I take is a gift from God. Take a breath. A gift from our Creator that we are meant to see through and come to Him in worship for. All of life is gifted to us that we might look through the gift and draw near to worship the giver. And so, just for us today then, just two brief implications from this account. Two implications. First implication, do we recognize that taking the gift and ignoring the giver is tragic? To live that way is tragic. These nine men take the gift and walk away from Christ forever. They get what they want here and now, but they walk out of Christ's life forever. And that is a tragedy, and it is just as much a tragedy when people do it today. So if you're here and you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian yet, can I just ask, do you see how tragic that would be for your life to treat God that way? To focus on the things that He gives me here and now, but never come back into a relationship with Him. You know what Jesus Christ asked a question I'd like to ask you. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? If you're here today and you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian yet, do you see that that would be tragic? That would be tragic. Now, I think on a different level as well, it is possible for Christians who have come to Christ, who have given their lives to Him and are saved, I think it's still possible for us to sort of slip into this on a different level. Do you know what I mean? To get so focused on the here and now, on the good things in this life, that I forget to respond, to look through the gift and worship God. I take my eyes off the giver and end up treating God a little bit like a slot machine. Or a vending machine. I go to Him when I want something, and then when I get that thing, I sort of head off again. This passage would encourage us, there is a much, much better way to be, a much better way to live. And it's this big idea we've been looking at. It's this, implication number 2, look through the gift to worship the giver. Like this man in verse 15 and 16, at the feet of Jesus, praising God. That is where you and I want to live each day, isn't it? To look through the gifts that He gives us, whatever it might be, the cup of coffee, the family, the home, the happy moment, whatever the gift is, to look through that and draw near to worship the giver. Do you know the difference between thanksgiving and adoration? I heard an American preacher called Tim Keller talking about this. The difference between thanksgiving and adoration. Okay, thanksgiving looks at the gift and says, thank you. It's good. It's a good thing to do. But adoration looks through the gift to the giver and says, what must you be like in yourself that you would treat me this way? What must you be like in yourself that you would give this to me? Ultimately, for a Christian, that you would give me salvation. It looks through the gift to worship the giver. So do you see, for a Christian, when it comes to gratitude, we have this sort of double joy, sort of deeper level. I enjoy the gift. I enjoy whatever the good thing is in life that I'm enjoying. But I also look through that and get to enjoy the giver, my maker in that moment. There's a double joy for a Christian. That's where you and I want to live this week, isn't it? Verse 15 and 16, throwing ourselves at the feet of Jesus, saying, thank you so much for who you are, for how you treat me. Now, practically, just very quickly, practically, what does this look like? Well, I think, as I've been meditating on this week, I think that habits are really helpful. Because what happens, we just forget, don't we? Let's be honest. We just forget. We get so focused on the things here and now, they fill our horizon, we just forget. But I think habits are really, really helpful with this. You know, the woman I mentioned at the beginning who lost her husband and was full of gratitude for the time they had, she didn't just become like that overnight. Gratitude's a bit like a muscle. It grows when you use it. She had a habit of every day spending time with God and thanking him for the good things that he'd given her. And then when tragedy came, how did she respond? Well, with gratitude. Make the most of daily habits. Look, saying grace before meals. There's a reason Christians have been doing that for thousands of years. I know we can do it in a just rush past it way. Or we can take a second and we can use it as a moment to look through the gift and draw near in worship to the giver. We can use it to train ourselves in gratitude. Or like that widow that I mentioned a moment ago, having a time each day where I look at God's words, where I thank him for all the things that he's given me. I look through the gifts to draw near in worship of him, the giver. Make the most of habits. If you're not going to, can I encourage you, grab one of these books and get into that habit every day. Look through the gift to worship the giver. Let me pray as we finish. Oh, great God and Father, we thank you and praise you for your ultimate gift to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you know how distracted we get. Lord, teach us by your Spirit to be like this man. Teach us to look through the gift and draw near in worship of you, the giver. We pray in your name and for your glory. Amen.